This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have a special health feature on sunshine.
Why is winter such an especially important time of year to talk about the sun?
Find out coming up on today's episode. Plus, we have much more. Join us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope. We are excited to be here and waking up with you. Did you know that today is National Horse Day?
Wow, our kids love horses.
Oh, yes.
In fact, they take care of 16 horses at a horse barn.
That's
so
right,
we're into
right.
horses.
And they both have paintings of horses in their room. They love horses.
Yes.
So here's a fun horse fact. Did you know that horses have 10 different muscles in their ears?
I did not know that.
No, this allows them to rotate them nearly 180 degrees and independently of one from another.
I have seen them turning their ears at different times. That's really amazing.
It
you
is.
Know, God created such amazing creatures. But now it's my turn.
Okay.
Guess what? I get to share a fun Bible verse that talks about horses.
A Bible verse.
Yeah. Psalm 20 verse 7 says, "Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God."
Oh, I like that. What a wonderful promise. And what a reminder, Heidi, that God is able to be our strength. His strength is our strength as we put our trust in Him. And that can only come from the Lord. And that is why we like to wake up with hope. Hope in the Lord.
Amen.
So let's get started today in today's program by taking a look back at what happened on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 2003, former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein was captured after spending 9 months on the run. During his 24 years in office, Saddam's secret police, charged with protecting his power, terrorized the public, ignoring human rights of the citizens. While many of his people faced poverty, Hussein lived in incredible luxury, building more than 20 lavish palaces throughout the country.
You know, Saddam Hussein was seen as an enemy to millions of people, especially as he started a senseless war that left millions of people dead. And his capture led to much rejoicing in different parts of the world. An enemy, as it were, had fallen. Though there may be many enemies in this world, including terrorists, there's one prime enemy we all have to face. It is the enemy that entered the world because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Death. But thank God, friends, thank God that one day soon, that enemy will be absolutely eradicated once and for all. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, friends, I look forward to that day. How about you?
Amen. Me too.
Oh,
praise God.
I
can't wait for that day. Have you been feeling far away from Christ? Not as close as you'd like to be? Well, Jesus can awaken you from spiritual lethargy and slumber. He can make the sun rise in your heart today, and He can breathe new life into your soul and transform you from the inside out. In Him, you will find a love that lasts forever and peace that passes all understanding. Dwell on this lovely thought as you enjoy this illustrative musical piece by Jacqueline Jewell of Hope Harmonies.
Rays of the morning, filling the sky.
skies with colors undone. Rise up my soul, hope stirred all around, breathing this life anew. Rise up my heart, for love is found, believing forever true.
Are you enjoying today's program? Don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. Also, you can find us on YouTube. Check us out there as well.
And when we return, the Let's Pray team will join us in prayer. But first, we have Doctor's Orders up next.
Oh, I love the warm embrace of that sunshine. It's so comforting on my face.
Yeah, but you know, it's more than just comforting. Sunshine converts cholesterol to vitamin D in our skin. And vitamin D is important in preventing a number of serious illnesses like cancer and diabetes. In fact, if you have enough vitamin D, then you're 40% less likely to have diabetes.
Mm-hmm. And vitamin D also boosts our calcium absorption into our system, therefore strengthening our bones so we can resist osteoporosis, bone disease, and fractures as well.
That's true. And dark skinned people like me, though, are more likely to be vitamin D deficient than fair skinned people like yourself.
Is that right? So do people like yourself need more sunshine?
Yep. As much as 5 times more.
Well, aren't you afraid of burning if you get that much?
Well, I'm more concerned that people don't get enough sunshine than getting too much. And besides, us darkies, we don't burn as quickly as you whiteies. But yeah, you shouldn't burn.
Well, I've also heard that vitamin D boosts our immunity.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Our T cells, which are the first line of defense for our immune system, absolutely need vitamin D to function.
And so if we want to resist colds and flus and other diseases, we need to get plenty of sunshine?
Yep. That's right. Doctor's orders.
Well, then I think it's my duty to sit back, relax, and absorb this beautiful sunshine.
Oh, I agree.
Thanks, Doc.
Welcome back. We are being blessed today on Wake Up with Hope.
It's now time for one of our favorite parts of our program, prayer.
Whenever we want to talk to a friend or a loved one, we either have to pick up the phone to send a message or give them a call, send a message through social media or even an email. But not so with Jesus. We can talk to Jesus at any moment from anywhere. All we have to do is open our mouths or pray within, and He hears us. No phone or special equipment is needed. And best of all, friends, Jesus is right there, waiting for us to call Him on at any time, at every place, any place we need Him. You know, what a privilege that is, friends. And this morning, let's take special hold of that privilege as we join the Let's Pray team for special prayer. Well, good morning to each and every one of you, friends. I am praying for each of you as you are waking up with hope. Listen, my name is Chris Holland, and I'm one of the hosts of Let's Pray. And I would hope that as you wake up with hope, that you would end the day with prayer. Let's Pray is on every Monday through Thursday from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I have the privilege of co-hosting the program with Susan Cromwell, where we come together and we pray together. That's, in fact, what Let's Pray is all about. It's the place where you don't have to pray alone. You know, friends, as we come together in this Waking Up with Hope, one thing that's important is praying for families. You know, friends, I come from a broken family. My parents divorced when I was 18 years old, began the process when I was 14 years old. So I know what it's like to come from a broken family. Some of us are still from intact families, but our families are in trouble. Many of our families are in crisis. Divorces are happening at a record rate. Bankruptcies are happening at a record rate. And it seems like everything is spiraling out of control. People are concerned about the price of gas. They're concerned about the economy. They're concerned in the United States about the upcoming election cycle. And many are wondering, what can we do? What can we do? And the family unit itself is crumbling. And the family unit, as it crumbles, is finding itself in a position where people are becoming less and less dependent upon Jesus and more dependent upon themselves. You know, I remember growing up that our family used to gather around the dinner table and we would eat together every single night. It wasn't until those things stopped happening that there began real troubles for our family. You see, our families are bound together, and they're bound together by one thing, and that one thing is the love of God. You know, there's a Bible promise in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. There in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, the Bible says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You see, when God is at the center of our family, we don't need to be afraid. And why don't we need to be afraid? Because He's the one that will uphold us. He's the one that will strengthen us. He is the one that will hold us together. And so I want to pray for the families today. I don't know if your family's in crisis. I don't know if your marriage is in crisis. Maybe your family's healthy. Maybe your marriage is healthy. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God would be the center, bringing it all together and keeping that family together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we don't have to count on ourselves. We don't have to count on man-made operations. But rather, Lord, we know that we can count on you because you promise that you will be with us wherever we go. And so, Lord, I pray for all of those that are tuning in right now that you would be the one that would become a centerpiece and a central part of the family and hold that family together. I pray, Lord, that you would bless families. For those families that are strong, I pray that you would make them even stronger. For those families that feel like they're falling apart, I pray, Lord, that you would be the one that would solder them back together. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would be the center. I pray that you would be the one that was there to strengthen them. And I pray that our families of Wake Up with Hope would be saved. We pray all of this
In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Well, friends, I hope and pray that your family would be strengthened and that God would be the center. God bless each and every one of you, and we'll see you next time.
Amen. What a blessing that was.
We have to take a short break now, but Elizabeth Talbot will be with us when we return to share a devotional message. And don't forget to visit us at hope.study to grab your free Bible study guides today. Don't turn the channel. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We're happy you're with us today.
You know, it's now time for our devotional thought. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be bringing it to us this morning.
Hello there. We continue with our series, Fear Not. And today we're discussing an interesting fear. Is fear not true discipleship? And the reason why we're talking about this is because some of us, at some point in our lives, were afraid of committing our lives to Jesus because we didn't know what was going to happen next. I was talking with a young man some time ago who said to me, I'm afraid of making a commitment to be a disciple of Jesus because I don't know what he's going to ask of me. Maybe he will ask me to leave my friends behind or just not have the same lifestyle. Or maybe he will ask me to do something big for him and I can't do it. Plus, I know I'm a sinful person. So how could I be a disciple of Jesus? Well, today we're going to discuss this because Jesus is going to do something for his disciples so that they will never be afraid of following him and do whatever he asked them to do. So let's go to Luke chapter 5. He will show them there why they shouldn't be afraid of true discipleship. Luke chapter 5 is the actual call of the disciples to be his disciples. But he's going to do it in a very interesting way. So let's get started in chapter 5 of Luke, starting on verse 1. It happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. See, Jesus is starting to grow in reputation. So there are crowds that are pressing Jesus, they're following Jesus, they're listening to Jesus. And they're now by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the same as the Sea of Galilee. It's just that Luke sometimes calls it Lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge, verse 2, of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. I don't know if you've ever seen people take out the nets out of the water. We actually have seen fishermen taking out the nets. And they take them out, they get the fish, they stretch the nets, they clean the nets. So when it says that they were washing their nets, it's actually saying that they are done. They have finished what they were going to do. And this is an important thing for what's coming up. So they're finished. Jesus asks, he gets onto into one of the boats that happened to belong to Simon on verse 3, Simon Peter. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out a little way from the land so that he could continue teaching. And it's interesting that Jesus is not just teaching in the synagogues. He's teaching in ordinary settings, too. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. So you can imagine this scene. We have imagined it many times as we visited different sides of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus there in the boat talking to the people that are on the shore. And when he had finished speaking, verse 4, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. So here I have some nets. these were experienced fishermen. They knew when to put their nets down, when to take them out, and they were finished. And Jesus says, oh, no, by the way, I know you're finished. I know you washed your net, but put it down again. Put it in into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon, a very experienced fisherman, thinks that these are absurd instructions. You know, he has already worked with his net, is already clean, he's done, and he says it. He says it to Jesus. He says to him on verse 5, Simon answered and said, Master, We worked hard all night. We know what we're doing. We're fishermen. You are a carpenter. You should stick to your profession. We are fishermen. He didn't say all that, but he said, Master, we have worked all night, and we worked hard and caught nothing. But I like this word, but, or nevertheless. I will do as you say and let down the nets. You know, when you have worked hard in your marriage and it hasn't worked, and when you have worked hard letting go of an addiction and it hasn't worked, and when you have worked hard in getting rid of that anxiety that keeps you awake at night, and God says, let me do it. Just let me take over. There are times in which you got to stop trying and start trusting because your strength is not enough. The way you're doing things is not working, right? So every once in a while, Jesus will say, okay, let go and let God. Let me do it. And so Peter says, okay, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. So he lets down the nets. And can you imagine the surprise when he brings it back up? And it's so full of fish that it says that he has to call his companions and says, look at what's happening. Verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats and they began to sink. This is like the confirmation of the miracle, right? Not only did they catch a lot of fish, but the nets started breaking, and then another boat came, and then they filled up both boats, and then the boats started sinking because there were so many fish. See, when they did it by themselves, they caught nothing. But Jesus was teaching them something, and it was a lesson that they needed for the rest of their lives, and it was this. Okay, let's continue, and then I'll tell you what the lesson was. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw that, he saw that his efforts had not brought any fish, but Jesus had brought this incredible quantity of fish. He fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. It's interesting, this paradox that he feels. He falls at Jesus' feet, but then he says, I'm so sinful, I shouldn't even be in your presence. You know, many people in the Bible felt this when they got close to God. Abraham did, Job did, Isaiah did. They said, oh, I'm a sinful man. And I'm going to tell you a secret. The closer you get to God, the more sinful you will feel. But you will live with both realities, the assurance that God is with you and that you have been saved by him, and at the same time, that you are not the one that is making these things happen. That is all about God. So Jesus says, don't fear, verse 10. Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. See, this was about Jesus. It was not about them. They left everything, says the next verse, 11, and they followed him. They left the nets, the fish, everything, and they followed him because they realized it was not about them. And if they were going to be true disciples, whatever God asked them to do, it would be by his power. That's why Jesus did this miracle at the beginning. Because what they were going to do for God and their life as a disciple of Jesus wasn't going to be because of their own power. It was going to be because of God's power. And I understand that sometimes we are afraid of committing. And Jesus says, you feel unworthy? You feel sinful? You feel like a failure? Follow me. Because this is not going to happen because of who you are, but because of who I am. Plus, if he asks you to do anything, don't forget that all his biddings are enablings. He will do it. It's not your power, it's his. Discipleship is following the one who has already saved you. He has done it by his power. The same way that he saved you at the cross through his blood is the same way that he will do whatever needs to be done in your life as a follower of Jesus. So fear not true discipleship. He invites you now to follow him and he will give purpose to your life. So take all those what ifs out of your mind and just follow him. Fear not true discipleship.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for sharing with us this morning.
Well, friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning as well. And if you would like to learn more about us or share with us with a friend, maybe somebody that's never seen Wake Up with Hope before, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning, we invite you to wake up with us as well. We will have wonderful music by the Neblett family, and we will be looking at the story of the prodigal son from an artistic lens. You're sure to be blessed, so don't miss us tomorrow.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about God's amazing plan for your life, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. Also, check out the website. We're sure you will find something just for you.
You know, our program is over here today, but before we go, we want to leave you with today's Bible promise. It says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23, verse 6.
Amen. Surely his goodness and his love will follow you all the days of your life. It's a beautiful promise, and you can always claim it.
That's right.
And we want to accept our true calling as God's children, don't we, friends? When we can be sure today that he is always near us.
What a promise.
Amen.
What a promise. So let's pray together and take hold of that promise today. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, that you are the God that is surely with us. You are by our side. In fact, you're the great shepherd, and we surrender our life to you as your sheep. Lord, we depend on you completely. We can't risk being without you. We can't be. We can't afford to be. We need you today, Lord. So thank you for holding us in your arms and taking us down the path that leads to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.